Hey, this is Dan Sheridan with CrossAndThrong.com. It's great to be with you today. Well, we are in number 9 of our series entitled Truth and Practice for today, and we are in Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to start reading verse 15, from verse 15 to verse 23. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Well, last time we talked about the faith according to you, that when Paul is writing Ephesians here, there's a specific faith being addressed. Paul said he heard of their faith, or the faith according to you in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. They heard the specific message that Paul gave here in Ephesians concerning Christ as the head and they as members of his body. And Paul says when he heard of the faith that relates to them in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. Now notice, embracing the truth of Paul's message of the dispensation of the mystery is not just something that's toward God, but it also leads you to love unto all the fellow members of the body of Christ. And it says here, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Paul was a prayer warrior, as people would call it, but he had ceaseless prayer concerning specific things. Well, what is Paul's prayer? Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, I want you to notice here that he's called the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. All throughout the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, and even most of the New Testament, he's called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But if you follow these programs long enough, we've taught you that after Acts 28:28, God set Israel aside. And if Israel's set aside, so are their hopes. And that means he's no longer today called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He will once again be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the future in connection with the nation of Israel. But today he's the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, because all of our blessings that come to us today in the dispensation of the mystery have nothing to do with God's promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he's called the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. And he says here, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now notice that he's praying that God gives us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now this word knowledge is interesting in the Greek language. It's a word that's used in other places. It's translated acknowledgement. One version, the Concordant version, says realization. But some give this the idea of acknowledgement. It's one thing to have knowledge, but it's another thing to acknowledge. In other words, I know many people today who they hear the truth of Paul's message here of the dispensation of the mystery, and it just doesn't go any further. They won't acknowledge it. They won't make it real in their lives. They're afraid to confess it before others or something like that. They don't acknowledge it. So wisdom and revelation in the mystery come in as you acknowledge it, you recognize it as its truth, and you live accordingly. Now, there are a number of references to how this Greek word is used. And if you want to look them up on their own, you can see it in Ephesians 4:13 as another reference to this word knowledge. Paul says in Ephesians 4:13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge or acknowledgement of the Son of God unto a perfect man. So maturity comes not just through hearing it with your ears, but acknowledging the truth. So Paul says that he gives you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the acknowledgement of him. And I think the hymn there is referring to God. Colossians 1:10, I think, is a good parallel to show you it's referring to God. And it says here, "The eyes of your heart having been enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling." So Paul prays for this spirit of wisdom and revelation in the acknowledgement of him. And what is it? That the eyes of our heart, having been enlightened, we may know what is the hope of his calling. Now that word know is interesting. It's a Greek word. It's the result of verse 17, as it were. Verse 17 is Paul's prayer, and what's the result of it? Verse 18, that ye may know. And the best way to illustrate this word is, have you ever studied the scriptures? You've been part of a Bible study with friends, and all of a sudden you say, oh, I see it. I finally see it. I get it. That's what this word know means. It's to perceive something. So Paul has his prayer that when we acknowledge him, the eyes of our heart are enlightened, so we can see something, we can get. Well, what do we get? What is the hope of his calling? So Paul here prays that we may know or perceive what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. Now I want you to notice the hope of his calling. It's God's calling, and I think it's his calling of us. Now some may debate that, but I want to read you a few verses in Acts chapter 26. Turn to Acts chapter 26. Paul prays that we may know or perceive what is the hope of his calling. In Acts chapter 26, verses 6 and 7, we read this, and Paul says, "And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come." Now I want you to know that a hope has to do with a promise being made. It has to do with a realization of a calling. And in verse chapter 26, verse 6 and 7, we see something specific. Paul says, "And I am stand judged of the hope, for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers." So it's something specific. And in Ephesians, we have something specific set before us as a hope. In Acts 28, verse 20, Paul says this, "For this cause, therefore, I have called you, to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain." During the book of Acts, the hope of Israel was the hope set before us. That was the hope that Paul was looking forward in the book of Acts. But now we see in the book of Ephesians a new hope. And that's why Paul prays that we may perceive what is the hope of his calling. And this has to do with the celestial realms. What is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Now, I want to do a little work on this verse. Paul also prays that we may know what are the riches of the glory. Now, this word riches is used in Ephesians 3:8, where Paul says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Now, Christ is the one with all these riches. We're going to see that the Lord Jesus Christ had great riches as Messiah over Israel on earth, but now he has even further riches revealed, as he is not only just the head on earth, but he's head over all things, including the celestial regions. And we get part of that. We're part of this celestial calling. That's why he prays we may know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance. Now, the word "in the saints" here is interesting. The word "in the saints" we can translate literally here, "in the holy place." The word "saints" could mean people, places, or things. And here I think it's a reference to heaven's holiest of all. It's not referring to people, but a place. So Paul is praying that we might know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance, even in heaven's holiest of all. Because we are told in Ephesians 1 that we're blessed with all spiritual blessings, where? In the heavenly places. This is the place of our allotment. This is our inheritance. And Paul's prayer here is that we might know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in heaven's holiest of all. And not only that, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. Now, I want you to notice that nowhere ever in Scripture is this ever used of creation. God talks about the exceeding greatness of his power to us who are to believe. We never read that regarding the entire creation. We never read of the exceeding greatness of God's power in creating the cosmos, but we see it in bringing you and I, members of the body, into our calling. This is amazing. It took more power for God to redeem us and to give us this celestial allotment than it did for him to create and sustain the universe. Think about this. This is exceeding greatness of power. Now, this word exceeding is interesting. In Ephesians 2:7, we see it this way. In Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In Ephesians 3:19, we read this, that we may know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. That's the same word used. There we have exceeding love. In Ephesians 2, we have exceeding grace. In Ephesians 1:19, we have exceeding power. So the power that we have is exceeding. The love that we have toward us is exceeding. And the grace toward us is exceeding. And it closes in this verse, to usward who believe. Now remember, keep this in the context. It's not generally believers. It's for those who believe the specific message. Ephesians 1:15 says, the faith according to you. And Ephesians 1:19, those us who believe. Believe what? General things? No, it's those who believe the specific message that God gave to the Apostle Paul here in Ephesians. Then in Ephesians 1:19 to 23, this power is according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ. Well, what is his great power? Well, it's the same power demonstrated that he did in our Lord Jesus when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. It's interesting, and I noted this before, even Paul's earlier epistles, it takes us through his death and resurrection. But Ephesians takes us even further to the ascension. And this is where the mystery, the dispensation of the mystery comes in. It has to do with blessings in the realm he now occupies. For instance, in Romans 6, we're crucified, buried, and risen, but it never says we're seated with him in heavenly places. Romans 8 talks about the manifestation of the sons of God. Even the hope of the Acts period in Paul's earlier letters only takes us to resurrection here on this earth. It is not until Paul's post-Acts ministry after Israel is set aside that we see the ascension emphasized so much, because that is the place of our blessing. He says, which he wrought in Christ, having raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. That phrase, right hand, is interesting. Look up Romans 8:34, Colossians 3:1, and Zechariah 3:1. And look at those references for right hand. Just do a little study on your own. So this is the power wrought in Christ, and we raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. He's emphasizing the celestial side of this, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Notice he's there now. Now he's head over all things of the church. Verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Verse 22 is a quote of Psalm 8. And if you look at Psalm 8, look at your companion Bible. Psalm 8, the title of Psalm 8 is The Secrets of the Son. And in Psalm 8, King David is looking at Adam, who was given dominion over the works of God's hand. And all it lists there are the things on the earth, sheep and oxen and so forth. And we know that Adam was only a picture of him that was to come, the Lord Jesus. One day the Lord Jesus will fulfill the role that Adam had to have dominion over this earth. He will have that in the coming age. But Psalm 8 never talked about principalities and powers and head over all things like we do in Ephesians 1. So what do we have here in Ephesians 1? We have the secrets of the Son. Ephesians 3 calls it the mystery or the secret of Christ. It has to do with this dominion being extended. Remember, Ephesians is opening up the sphere of Christ's dominion that was unknown in the Old Testament. And just as God associated a people with Christ on earth for his earthly dominion, so he's going to associate a people with Christ in his heavenly dominion. And that belongs to the body of Christ. He has placed him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Without the body of Christ, there would be a lack, as it were, for God's purposes for the entire universe. All the universe is going to be filled with God's glory. Genesis 48:19 says that Israel is going to be a fullness of nations. In other words, on earth, they are going to fill God's role for bringing God's glory to the earth. And we, as members of the body of Christ will fulfill God's glory for the celestial realms. Well, a lot of things are spoken here, and my words may be futile. That's why Paul has to pray here that God would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the acknowledgement of him. Friends, let me encourage you. Pray the prayer of Ephesians 1:15-23. Pray it. Pray it. This is a prayer to be prayed. And we'll continue next time with Ephesians chapter 2. This is Dan Sheridan with CrossAndThrone.com.